Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Countrified UK podcast, brought to you all the way from the United Kingdom, bringing you your weekly fix of everything country. And now your hosts, Alex and Blaine.
Hey guys, I'm Alex and I'm with my boy Blaine.
Hey.
Welcome to episode number 42.
Wow.
Yeah. We're getting there. Once again, very exciting episode. We've got a great interview with Tyler Braden. That was awesome getting him on.
Yeah. Bit hard.
Yes, it was a little difficult. He was kind of traveling at the time. He was on his, we wouldn't say a bus. It was more like a van filled with 12 people.
But we're finally, after a lot of talk and a lot of emails exchanged, we got a hold of him. And we're so excited to do that interview with him because he's one of like country music's top rising stars at the minute.
100%. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But also to close off the show, we have a song from Jennifer Alvarado. We played her music.
Where do I recognise that name from?
It's because we played it just last week. Not this very song. This is a new single coming out of hers called Catfish. And we are very lucky, very privileged that we are going to be the first to play this because it doesn't come out till the 7th of October.
Wow.
So this is literally like kind of...
Exclusive.
Yeah. So if this song hits number one, you heard it here first. Countrified UK.
But, what's this week entailed for you, Alex?
Oh, this week. It's just been busy because, soon enough, I'll be taking a trip out to Botswana.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, that's
very tropical.
Very tropical. Yeah, considering it's their summertime, it's only going to be like 97 Fahrenheit. But, hey ho. That's us English people just cannot take the sun, you know. We're used 20 degrees Celsius is probably a comfortable heat for us.
I think you would have been relatively excited this week because it's only a couple of weeks until we go and see Russell Dickinson.
Oh my god.
So we're talking what? It's,
do you know, I wasn't even going to mention it because I thought I'd get too excited. Now you've mentioned it, now we've got to talk more about it.
And then, whilst we're touching on the subject of Russell Dickinson here, obviously he had that new track that just came out yesterday. I wonder. And it makes me wonder if he's got a new album coming out.
He's got to. This has got to be a tour of, guys, because obviously I know he's going to have, technically it's his Southern Symphony tour, around here, but I think he's got another album coming out, and I think his plan is that he's going to play like a load of songs from the Southern Symphony. I can't even say got a lisp.
So excited.
So from that album to this whatever it's going to be, I think it's going to be a new album. I think I'm just excited and just hoping that there is going to be another album.
It's going
to
be awesome.
I need to fill my phone up with Russell again.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to that concert. So this month's actually mental for us. So first off, we're going to Jade Halliwell,
11th of October.
At Howlers Newcastle. Then, that same week, we go down to Manchester on the Saturday morning for the gig on the Saturday night.
Happy days.
Then, we were so pleased and we're privileged as well. So our friend David from Fine Lines, who we've had on the podcast before, if you go back to our episode at the Blackpool, episode PCMA's number 10,
one, yeah.
And we actually found out when we met him, he's from the same town as us. So we got a message from him the other day, and he's supporting Kiefer Sutherland on their...
How wild is that?
On their UK, normally Kiefer sort of turns around and says, I want a independent artist from every town. So if they played in Manchester, they would have a local artist, Newcastle local artist, etc. But this time he wanted to do things slightly different and just have the same person for the whole tour, which turned out to be Fine Lines. And then David has invited us to go backstage with Fine Lines. So hopefully we might get meet Kiefer Sutherland.
I mean,
I hope I'm saying his name right. Is it Kiefer or Kiefer?
No, Kiefer. Yeah, Kiefer. You're right. Or as he might be well known as one of the Lost Boys.
Or Jack Bauer.
Jack Bauer, yeah, of course.
He has got many aliases.
Yeah, oh, I know. So I'm not going to lie, I was so excited when Fine Lines are saying, oh, why don't you just come backstage and, you know, we'll hang out and stuff like that. I was just like, yeah, and don't get me wrong, it'd be great to hang out with David again, because every time we've met up with him and stuff, we always have a good time, a bit of fun. But let's be honest, I would be very starstruck if I met one of the Lost Boys, because I love that film so much.
What, is that the vampires?
Yeah.
All right.
What do you mean, all right? It's like one of the most legendary films ever.
Yeah, I need to give that a watch. Like, I just, like, I've seen little bits and bobs of it on TV and stuff.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it?
But I'll give it a watch. But another person that I'm ecstatic for is, previous, like, this week, was the CMT's announced the 2022 Artists of the Year honorees. So they announced five of them, and it was, obviously, Luke Combs.
Obviously.
You have Kane Brown.
Obviously.
Cody Johnson.
Ooh.
Carly Pierce.
Ooh.
And Walker Hayes.
Yeah.
So.
That's pretty cool.
Basically, the whole award ceremony gets, aired next month. But, like, it's the five artists who've collectively dominated the last 12 months in country music, leading across all CMT platforms, scoring chart-topping albums and singles, and performing music that entertains and inspires millions of people. So I'm really pleased for Walker Hayes, because he's Kane Brown and Luke Combs have won that award like twice. They've been up for that, but it's the first time for like Cody Johnson, for Carly Pierce and Walker Hayes. But what a ride he's had.
I know, I'm so shocked that Walker Hayes has not won more. Like all the stuff he puts out, all his music recently has been absolutely banging. Everything that he does, like his videos and stuff like that, like even on TikTok and things like that, like he has blown up. He's awesome.
It's absolutely amazing. And if anyone hasn't, like, doesn't know the story of Walker Hayes, definitely go and check that out, because it's like, it's not a traditional story. And that's one thing that we're finding more and more, that like people come up like in different routes, as you'll find out in the Tyler's interview. He started off as a firefighter.
Yeah, no, yeah.
It's just, it's amazing, and how people can come up from like different backgrounds and like different career paths and then find the way into music and pursue a career in that. It's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking a bit more about firefighting soon.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler.
I was like, oh, have you got a new career path, have we?
You're joking. I'm scared of heights. I couldn't get up a ladder. Like,
yeah.
Also, I mean, firefighters, I mean, they are one of the bravest people ever. Like, I don't think I've got the mindset to be able just to run into a fire. And, you know, to save someone's life, you know, the adrenaline might take over me. But they do it as a job, and they would do it regardless. They don't know anyone. They will go in there and take you out on their shoulders. Well, that's what I imagine. That's what they do in the movies. But, like, yeah, massive.
Throw you out the window on a massive trampoline.
Yeah, just throw it out, and then the other people are holding the mattress to catch you.
Yeah.
Massive big up for the fire service. Like, all emergency services, huge appreciation for them.
One person that I think we should talk about this week, who I generally can't be more happy for. So a bit back, we spoke to an artist called Jay Allen.
Oh, yes.
So Jay, didn't realise he wasn't actually like signed to a record label at this present moment in time. And he went on The Voice.
Yeah.
And literally just stole America's heart. So he started performing, and he sang this like country song, and literally like note perfect. Chairs turned around for him. You had Blake Shelton, you had like Gwen Stefani and stuff like that. And basically, he got, like, after they turned around and that, they says, oh, do you write your own songs and that? And he was like, yeah. And he did his song Blank Stairs. And literally he went from doing that on there, and he went to number 2 in the iTunes charts in the, like, overnight. And Jay's married. Well, not quite yet married.
Oh, getting married, yeah.
Yeah, he was meant to be getting married this weekend in Florida. But obviously tragic events that's happened across there, they've been unable to. But his partner is Kylie Morgan as well. A massive country music star.
Country star, yeah.
And she put a video on where she woke him up in the morning and then was like, Jay, wake up. Just to let you know, like, you're number two in, like, the iTunes chart. And he, like, just woke. Imagine waking up in the morning, just being, like, an overnight sensation, like.
I probably would have joked, tell me when I'm number one.
Wake me when I'm number one.
Oh, man, no, but a huge, massive congratulations,
it's
Jay.
It's awesome when we get to speak to these people as well, isn't it? Like, and you get to see them doing well.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, there's people who like deserve all these kind of things, and Jay is 100% one of them. He's like, you know, he was such a down to earth guy. You know, he's had a bit of a tough going, but he's really just come back into it on his own. You know, he looks like he's living a good life. And obviously, we see everything over social media, so. You know, I'm saying that just from what I see, but, you know, he's just such a nice person.
One thing that I think we need to talk about is our friends Restless Road as well. They have a new track coming out.
Yes.
In October.
Oh, my God.
And it's called Sundown Somewhere. Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
I know. It's going to be live as well when we hear it in January. Oh,
I haven't even heard a little preview of that yet, so I'm even more excited to hear the full track and, like, oh, and just, yeah, because anything they put their hand to, they can do. So really looking forward to that and seeing, like, that live as well. But it's this month that we get to find out who's performing at C2C.
Oh, I know. I kind of wait. I think we know a couple of people, but, you know, hush, hush.
Yeah, we can't mention.
We cannot mention, and we won't mention. It doesn't matter how much you twist our arms, we will not tell.
Exactly.
Snitches get stitches.
Or lawsuits.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can try and sue us. We've got no money to our name. What are you going to take?
Our my trainer.
No, he's but, only got one.
Yeah, it's so like, it gets announced on the 17th of October, I believe. And Ben Earl from the Shires is doing a show. And then from there, that is like the announcement of it. So really looking forward to that because everyone's getting really excited across here. Because you can see them, like, it's so funny on social media watching people at the minute because they're all like posting pictures up like, who's your dream lineup for like Country to Country 23? And then they'll go like, they'll put their persons down. Then someone in the comments is like going on that artist's like profile and finding out when they're touring and seeing if there's any little gaps over the dates of Country to Country. And they're like, ooh, Luke Bryan's free on them days. Ooh, he's cancelled these shows. It's like, get a life.
Harsh.
Well, just like, it sort of ruins the excitement, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. But, anyway, I mean, we keep talking and talking, but let's swing back to War Tyler. As you guys are going to find out in the interview, Tyler was literally on the road. On the road again? I had to do it.
Literally driving through the most picturesque place in the world. Through the Smoky Mountains near Dolly Land or Dolly World or whatever it's called.
Oh, man. Like, it just looked like, no, we didn't see it. It just sounded like, because he described it to us at one point and we're just like, ugh, I'm literally looking at a grandfather clock. Like, that's my sight. And Blaine.
Cheers, mate.
Pleasure.
Yeah, he was on his way to Virginia.
Virginia,
to do a show. So what lifestyles like these guys have got that they get to go on the road, live the dreams, play shows night in, night out, and fantastic. And I think Tyler touches on it quite well. So
yeah. And you know, we talk a bit about the Fire Brigade in there, so how about we let you guys listen to it, and we hope you enjoy. So nice to have you on board here, Tyler. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
We're doing absolutely fantastic. It's absolutely great. Brilliant to finally speak to you, because we've been trying this for a little while now, we finally got you. You might be on, in a van, but we've got you.
Yeah, absolutely. We're rolling right now, but technology got us together, so we're good to go.
Happy days. Tyler, I've I know we've just mentioned this before, but you've got to explain to everyone who's listening for this episode whereabouts you are right now and where you're going to be heading towards. Like, it's just amazing where you're talking to us from right now.
Yeah, so we just left Nashville about 30 minutes, 45 minutes ago. So we were headed east in Tennessee, and it won't be long. We'll be going through the Smoky Mountains. And yeah, he's talking about, we just talked about it because I was warning him that I could, that service could get a little spotty here soon, that we start going through these, you know, through the hills and all that, it'll get a little rough, but it gets beautiful. We're heading that way. We're going to Virginia for a show and then Pennsylvania the next night for a show. So it's going to be a good run.
That's amazing, man. So basically what will happen is when you start to break up, we know that you might be breaking up, but at least you've got a beautiful few.
Absolutely.
So, oh, that's awesome. Well, Tyler, one of the questions I always love asking people about where it all began for them. So where did it all start for you with your music career?
Well, my parents and aunts and uncles, they all sang like my whole life. And so ever since I could talk, I would sing with my parents, and I was kind of always around it. They would play and sing at local parties and just things like that back in my home state of Alabama. And I started playing guitar kind of later in my teens, 18 to 19 years old, and joined a rock band at the time where I just sang. I didn't even really play, but I've kind of been doing it my whole life, really.
That's awesome.
So you mentioned like you were in a rock band and stuff. Like, what? Who were some of your biggest influences growing up?
So I always loved the Foo Fighters, one of my favorites of all time. I loved Goo Goo Dolls, Matchbox 20, bands like that. And country-wise, I always listened to Kenny Chesney growing up, and the Chicks, and of course, classic country, Keith Whitley, George Jones, a lot of those guys when I was younger. It's been a very diverse influence for myself. I listen to R&B, Boyz II Men, and just a lot of things like that. Just stuff from all over, really.
Oh, that's awesome.
Pretty good concoction.
I was going to say that is like a good mix of people there. As soon as you said like Foo Fighters and Goo Goo Dolls as well, I was just, oh, they're incredible. I loved Foo
Absolutely.
Fighters. In fact, no, love. Not loved, love Foo Fighters.
Love it.
So we're going on to when you got signed in 2019 with Warner Music Nashville. What was that like for you?
You broke up there.
Oh, so we're just saying, like, so what was it like in 2019 when you got signed by Warner Music Nashville? That must have been a good feeling.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It all happened relatively quickly in the sense of how long it normally takes to get these arrangements and agreements worked out. But I was working in the fire service. I was actually in the fire service for 7 years. And in 2019, I got my first publishing deal with 50 Egg, and I'd had 4 or 5 offers at the time. And that was when I knew I could go full-time in music, July or June of 2019. And we were already in the works, kind of talking to a couple different labels. And we went with Warner, and it took us to about October, and we got everything figured out. And I signed that year, and everything was going great, obviously, until about 6 months later when things kind of slowed down for reasons you already understand. But no, that was great. It was a whirlwind. That all happened 4, 5, 6 months there, but a lot of things happened at one time, and it was an amazing year.
We've definitely got to take a very quick step back. You just mentioned that you were in the fire service.
Yes. So I'm from Alabama, and I started there. I worked for Montgomery Fire Rescue in Alabama, capital city. And I worked there for 4 years. And then I kind of started getting this itch to see about getting closer to Nashville. And I looked up firefighting jobs, and a city just south of Nashville happened to be testing and hiring at the time. Just when I'm at, within a matter of 6 to 8 weeks, I'd come up here and tested and gotten a job and moved closer to Nashville. And so I worked in the fire service like for 3 more years here. And as I started getting these publishing offers and stuff, that's when I kind of started toying with the idea of leaving. And when I got my first deal, that's when I went full-time music and resigned. But that had worked out so well for years, the type of schedule you have as a firefighter. In Brentwood, Tennessee, I worked 2 days at a time, but then I was off for 4 days. So having that much time off, I was able to intermingle and kind of do both careers for a pretty long time.
So working within the fire brigade, Nat, do you reckon there's any sort of skills or any sort of experience that you can take from there and put into your music career?
I think the biggest thing, and I've talked about this before with a lot of people, that there's so many similarities to touring and living at the fire station, because you're around the same people all the time. You create these sort of brotherhoods in the same way, and camaraderie in the same way with your crew. It's the same thing in fire station. And also just the, I mean, just the control of emotions and just the waves of ups and downs that happen in both careers, obviously in way different ways, but you still learn to control your emotions the same way and kind of stay level-headed. So I definitely brought a lot from that career into this one.
And not a lot, many people know this, but your truck, Brothers, is that one dedicated to the fire service as well?
It is. That was actually a cover that we had played for a little while there by a band called Need to Breathe. And we'd always done it as a tribute to the fire service, just because near the end of my fire career, when the schedules didn't line up just right, like a lot of the guys would work for me and allow me to go play shows and have my meetings and all that, they would work my shift for me. So they helped me really be able to take an extra step forward quicker than I would have as if I'd had to line the schedules up better. But it helped, and I'll never be able to properly, you know, thank them and repay them the way I could. But we try to do that in a small way by playing that song as a tribute. But yeah, we've been doing that for about 3 years now.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's incredible. Well, going on to more of your music. So in November 2021, when finally things started to kind of open up, that saw the release of your EP, What Do They Know? How did it feel finally releasing this?
Man, it was great, because, I mean, we had done, you know, singles and where we're going one song at a time. But it was really cool to be able to put together a project with, it had 7 songs. And it had such a diversity in it that showed kind of who I was as an artist and as a writer from top to bottom. It had songs that I had written with friends, you know, like more upbeat rock sounding songs, all the way down to piano ballads, to songs that I wrote by myself that were more kind of slower in the storytelling kind of angle. And like I said, just in 7 songs, we were able to approach who I am as an artist from so many different directions that it was finally great to be able to put out a project like that.
Well, here's one for you then. And this is always a difficult question to ask someone. What is your favorite track on that EP?
Oh man, that is tough. But I mean, they all have like just a way that they're my favorite in like in different ways. Like Ways to Miss You off the album is my favorite song to play live. It's just this upbeat song that we end the show with. So it's kind of fun to have the rock influence come out on stage and end the show with that track. But Try Losing One has obviously affected a lot of different people in different ways. So that's probably my favorite one to hear people tell me about at shows, and just the way they interpreted the song in different ways. And so that's always been really cool, just the way people take songs in differently. What I See off of it is one of my favorites as well, just because getting to hear people use that in their wedding and things like that has been really awesome. So it's just cool to see how people gravitate towards different songs in their own way.
Well, then one of our favorite songs that you have wrote, and it's like quite a recent one, is 17. And that was a song that you did on the American Song Contest.
Yes, sir.
So like, can we ask, like, what made you participate in that? And what was the feeling of doing something like a massive sort of TV production like that? Like,
man, it was really fun because I got to meet all the participants from every state and see all these different musical influences and backgrounds and upbringings. And everybody was so amazing, and getting to hang out and get to know everyone was the best part. But you say more recently written song 17. 17 was actually probably one of the first 10, 15 songs that I ever wrote. And we brought in probably 10 or 12 songs we had demos of that are unreleased still. We sent them around to everyone in the crew and just the label and publisher and just everyone, and kind of voted on what songs we thought should be on the show. And we landed on 17. And it was really cool to land on something that I'd written so long ago, and I wrote it by myself and as a really brand new writer. And to take that on the show and see it do so well was a really cool step of approval kind of on what we do, what I do as a writer and as an artist. And so it was a great experience.
That sounds amazing. I would love to be in something like, just to do something like that.
Yeah, you gotta be able to sing first.
I've got a voice like an angel. hey Tyler, you don't have to laugh. So 2022, 8th of January was your Grand Ole Opry debut. Now, after watching it as a child and growing up, how did it feel finally making it into the circle to perform?
Man, that was great, because the best part of that whole experience was the crew there. Because backstage, I would get stopped by people and they could just tell, like, they would stop me and be like, hey, slow down, take it all in. And they just knew what you were probably feeling at the time. And they understood, because they were experienced, you know, they'd had a lot of people make their debut. And that was probably the best part. But also, just when you get out there and you step in the circle and the crowd is all supportive. And I had so many friends and family from back home and local here to Nashville that actually came out and watched our debut. And so it made it such a special experience. And I've always said it was kind of like that, the wholesome dream. Like, everyone dreams of, you know, winning awards and selling a lot of tickets and selling out arenas or you know, what have you. But that was kind of a super wholesome dream that, you know, your granddad may have had the same dream, or your dad, or your mom and dad, or whoever before you. And to be able to go and do that, you know, just for everyone else that wants to do it, it was a really cool experience. Because it's not like it's this huge money-making venture or anything like that. It's just a wholesome experience.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I loved about it was when I... Because I love watching the YouTube channel of the Grand Ole Opry. And when they do the little segments on, like, the debuts. And when I watched yours, like, when you, like, wouldn't step into the circle until the actual performance. And when you had all, like, you had them two guys from the fire service there and, like, your parents in the rehearsal. It was just, like, it just felt like such a wholesome moment or moments.
And emotional.
It is for sure. It was great.
So, like, and like, one thing that you do for the fire service, because you've got such a passion for golf as well, I see on your Instagram and everything.
Yes, sir.
but can you tell us a bit about Engine Co. 18 and the fantastic cause that it has?
Yeah, so we started this last year, and October 24th will be our second annual. It's a golf tournament we do at a course called Governor's Club in Brentwood, Tennessee. And what we do there is we have a lot of teams out and we raise money for National Fallen Firefighter Foundation. And that raises money for the families of people that have been killed or injured in the line of duty. And we also have a company called Hungry Heroes that comes out. And what they do is, around the country, they supply food to people on active scenes, like in just disasters around the country. And so they come out and they supply the food for the event and for all the golfers, but also a large portion of the proceeds goes to them as well, to kind of help support them in what they do. And we have prizes we give away, and obviously we play golf and have good food. And then we have a writer's round at the end where we're going to have some guys come in and play songs. And it's just a cool event all around, I think.
What amazing thing to do to mix, like, such a good cause with two of your passions, music and golf.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, without sounding big-headed, are you very good at golf?
I think I'm kind of average. I shoot.
I've never played.
mid-80s, I guess. But I have fun, and I'm getting better and better. And I just enjoy the aspect of it, how it gets you away from everything. And it's one of the few things that can make me not check my phone for a number of hours. And it's also just this game against yourself. And it's cool to be able to step away and to be able to compete with yourself. And I've just always enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's so beautiful, like, getting on a course, like, seeing all the scenery, and, like, it's just so peaceful out there. And, like you say, you can escape from, like, just the crazy career and lifestyle that you've got as well.
I've never had a game of golf in my entire life, and I'm starting to actually wish that I had. Like, I should start it. I might need some pointers, Tyler.
I got you. We'll get on YouTube together and learn together.
I mean, when you said, like, I'm like 80, like, what is that, like, what does, yeah, that, that's, is that good? Decent. Is that good? Okay.
Yeah.
So it sounds like
what,
good
depends what the power is of the course, mind.
Yeah. Yeah, for what sure. There's easy courses and there's harder courses.
But a course is normally about 70, 75 to 80. So yeah.
72 is your par most of 99% of the time. Occasionally, yeah, it'll be a 71 or a 70, but most of the time it's a 72.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So, Blaine, 72, man, not 75. Yeah. None of that.
Yeah. It depends on how hard the course is, Alex.
Yeah. You keep him right, Tyler. He knows nothing, mate. You and me, YouTube, we'll get some practice.
Absolutely. We got it.
Fantastic. So, just completely going off there. So this is an interesting question, and we've never asked this to anyone, and this is actually a question that someone has asked us to ask you when they found out we were doing an interview. Don't be worried. Oh, are you still with us, Tyler?
I'm good. Yeah.
Oh, happy days. I thought you might have been in the mountains. The question is, what is one thing your fans don't know about you?
I mean, that's kind of my go-to there is that, you know, a lot of people don't know that I don't drink, or I've never drank before. I mean, I've tried stuff here and there, but I've never been a drinker. And we actually have a lot of songs about drinking. And so that's always kind of the go-to fact about myself is that I've never been drunk before.
I'll tell you what, Tyler, if you came over to the UK, you teach me golf, I teach you the drink.
I tell you what, I wouldn't mind that.
Sounds like I'm playing.
Wouldn't mind waking up in the morning feeling fresh.
Yeah, that's the best part about it. I've never had a hangover.
Oh, wow. Yeah, actually, I feel a bit jealous about that now. Oh, man.
But so obviously, we're coming towards the end of 2022 now. What has the rest of the year got planned for you? I've seen that you're going like on tour with Mitchell Tenpenny.
Mitchell Tenpenny will be January, February, of beginning of next year. Right. We're about to go on tour through October, November with David Nail. And we've got a handful of headlining shows as well coming up. Like, that's what we're going to this weekend. And so we're playing pretty busy through about the week before Christmas. So we've got a pretty heavy year. But we're excited to come back right after New Year's and go out with Mitchell.
That's going to be amazing. And that does sound busy as well, though. Are you going to have some time for some golfing, though?
We always make time.
There's always time for a bit of golfing, eh?
Absolutely.
Well, Tyler, thank you so much for giving us some of your time, especially whilst you're literally on the road. It is an absolute
first ever interview where we've had somebody going on tour, on the road, talking to them. So that's awesome.
It's been an experience.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me for sure.
Well, we hope you have a safe journey for the rest of it, and we really hope that we'll speak to you in the future. And have good luck for the rest of all your tour.
Awesome! Thank y'all so much.
So that was Tyler Brin, and once again, what a guy,
what a dude.
when he was talking about when we were talking about the golfing, it was a bit of a sidetrack. And
if anyone wants to find Tyler in the foreseeable future, if he's not on tour, find him on the course.
Yeah, you'll find him in the 18 hole. Is that an expression?
Yeah.
Is it okay? I'm sure it is.
I'm sure it is, but if it isn't, it can't be.
It can't be. I've got no idea. When it comes to golf, I've got absolutely no idea. You know, it's swinging at a tiny little ball with a big metal thing.
Club.
Yeah.
Stick. I thought you were going to say stick.
Stick. Stick. It's pretty much a stick. But he loves his golf.
It's amazing how many artists actually do play golf.
It's amazing how many Americans play golf. Everything, you know, when you're just watching TV, and this is just kind of going off programs that you're watching, stuff like that. Their hobby is always golf. It's never anything else. It's always golf.
It's funny.
Jay Pritchett, Modern Family.
But, well, a lot of business is done on golf courses.
A lot of
deals are closed on golf courses.
Yeah. It just goes, we'll go for a nine-holer. I'm just making it up.
We'll go for a round.
We'll go for a round of golf.
We'll go and shoot some balls.
Yeah. Go swing a stick. And it's just I'll meet you there. And, you got their lawyers, your lawyers, and they're all paperwork and stuff in the back, and they're just smacking.
I mean, it is. It's I've played golf I played it when I was younger, and I do have the occasional run when I get time, but it's therapeutic as well, because you're out in the nature, you're just walking about. You must cover miles on miles when you're walking out there. But yeah, going back to the original point of how many artists that actually do enjoy playing golf. I've seen the likes of Darius Rucker and Chase Wright and all these other people, Chase Rice as well.
Just all
thousands
the
of them. Yeah.
So if you, just all chase.
Chase the rainbow.
Chase, yeah, chase the...
Chase the shot.
Chase the night.
I like that. Night,
chase the shot.
Yeah,
we've got a
new
song.
Yeah, we've got a new song for him.
Chase Wright, Chase Rice, and Chase Matthews just all have a song together now. Chase the shot.
Well, actually, you've just mentioned Chase Matthews. I've seen he did a show in Nashville on like Broadway, and my God, wow. It was like on this like rooftop, it was on this rooftop, and it looked absolutely amazing. And he just kept bringing out like all these, like Mason Horn he brought out. He brought out that Megan Monroe, like unbelievable, like what he was doing.
In America.
Aye.
Not
come
here.
To the UK.
Yeah. We'll give you a rooftop. It might be a bit slanted and slated, but might have to literally drill you down. That'd be fun. But moving on. So this week we've got the top 10 tracks for you guys to get yourself downloading on Spotify, have a look on YouTube, whatever. Whatever your method of getting music is, these are the 10 that we're recommending. And of course it has to start with I Wonder, Russell Dickerson.
Oh, I wonder why you picked that one.
I Wonder. Same Boat, Sac Brown Band and Jimmy Buffett. So it's weird saying that. Buffett? Buffet?
Jimmy Buffett.
Heavy Paw, Warren Siders. Jack Hardy. So the song's called Jack by Hardy. It's like trying to set me up to fail here, aren't you? Things That Matter, Jameson Rogers, Grow Young With You, Jesse James Decker, Give You My All, John Langston, Old Church Hymn, Darius Rucker and Chapel Heart, Willie the Wandering Gypsy and Me. Once again, I swear you're trying to set me up with what the... I was just looking at the word and I was just like, he's trying to make me say these on purpose. But it's actually a song, guys. Willie the Wandering Gypsy and Me, George Strait, and Bonfire at Tina's. Ashley McBride, Kaylee Hammock, Brandy Clark, and Pillbox Paddy.
What so name that is for a song as well.
The George Strait track.
I must admit, I have never heard of Pillbox Patty before, but no. I will be diving deep into that music.
I want them on the podcast.
I don't even know if it's a male or female. I'm judging by the lineup, it's a female, but who knows?
But let's talk a bit more about Willie the Wandering Gypsy and Me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I hesitated on that because I wasn't 100% sure if I was allowed to
I listened to the track yesterday because, as you guys know, that we're... On a Friday, when all these new tracks come out, we'll put them on TikTok, start putting them on Instagram and stuff. And I listened to the track and it was like amazing. Out of all of them, actually, Warren Siders is my favorite track out of all them. It's a proper, raw, gritty, country, like proper country track from back in the day as well.
But you can't guess which one mine is.
Oh, I wonder.
Give You My All.
Willie the Wandering Gypsy.
That's definitely my favourite title, I'm not going to lie. Oh, man.
I can't wait to see a music video for that. Is it just going to be Willie just walking through this, like, just wandering?
Just Willie. I'm 33, man. Oh, no, that's got me tickled now. Hey, quick, let's move on. We do have a song at the end, but it's not quite there yet. We just want to quickly do another little promo shout out for Jade Helliwell for the 11th of October at Newcastle Howlers. Obviously, she's got her own tour as well and all of the different parts. You can check her out on all the socials, Instagram. This event at Newcastle, though, is being hosted by our friends at Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
So you know, get on their website, you can buy tickets, there's still tickets to go, so come on guys, get yourself there. Me and Blaine will be there, so there's a chance to also meet us
that's the selling point.
That's
right there.
The real selling point. I mean, not only are you going to get some great music in the background,
yeah,
but you get to hang out with us. But Jade is like the background music to what the real event is, isn't it?
We are the real VIPs.
Yeah. I mean let's be honest, no we're not.
Jade's just got a headline to ourselves, yeah. Alex.
No, but I mean, Jade's, you know, top vocalist, like great songs, amazing person, funny as anything. You've got to get yourself there, because no doubt you've even probably get to meet her as well. And she's such a great person to be with.
Yeah, and the support act's absolutely amazing. But if you can't make it to the Newcastle event by some reason, make sure you find out where she's performing over the next few weeks and get yourself along, because you will be guaranteed to have your socks blown off.
Yeah. So, guys, we're going to be finishing our song, and this song is Catfish by Jennifer Alvarado. We hope you enjoyed the show today, and we hope you enjoy this song.
Walking in your dirty boots. Anyway, it twists, and I'll still be the one to lose. Don't you get tired of lying? Do you even remember your name? Karma has a way of finding you when you get in her way. Acting like a cat. Gotta keep a list of all the things you say. Soon your alibis are gonna come back to pay. Don't you get tired of lying? Aren't you scared of being alone? The truth always comes out of hiding, even when you think it won't. You're acting like a catfish, making me think you're something that you're clearly not. You're about to see it's you that's been played.